The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hi, I'm Hugh Hewitt. Thank you for listening to the Town Hall Review podcast, where we bring you the best voices on the stories and issues that matter. Our podcast is brought to you through partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy and ADF, the Alliance Defending Freedom. Here's another piece that I trust you'll enjoy.
Congressman Mike Gallagher from the great state of Wisconsin, which is sadly reeling after a great day of electioneering. It looks like they're going to be cutting DeShone Kizer, for whom the Packers front office traded Demaryius Randall, who will be starting for the Browns. And so, Mike Gallagher, I thought we'd be talking about politics, but if you want to get it off your chest, I'm sorry you made that trade. It's a bad deal, and I grieve for you. I really do.
How could someone, I mean, are you watching Hard Knocks right now?
Of course I am.
Cleveland Browns? I mean, it's like a very depressing movie. It's like watching a documentary about the Titanic right before it crashes into the ice.
You didn't see the victory chest, did you? You didn't see our Bud Light victory coolers, our victory coolers are ready to go. You are behind the times here, but DeShone Kizer getting cut, that's really bad.
We're going to trade for Khalil Mack. Our defense is going to be unstoppable. We got all these young receivers flying around the field. It's all good. We're going to win the Super Bowl this year.
All right, let's switch to politics. Wisconsin voted yesterday, and I got a lot of things to talk to you about. First of all, Tony Evers. I don't know anything about this guy, but he accused Scott Walker of conducting a reign of terror. Okay, so that's kind of not over the top, is it?
I think we might have a little bit of a rhetoric problem if we're using reign of terror to describe an economy in Wisconsin where we have 2.8% unemployment, where we had a reform dividend thanks to Walker's reforms, where we can make investments right now in education, in school safety, and we have a balanced budget at the same time. So that is hyperbolic, to say the least.
I mean, when I read that this morning, I was over at the Journal Sentinel, Wisconsin, Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And I don't know anything about Tony Evers. He won an 8-way Democratic primary. And I start the first paragraph, as he says, we're going to end the reign of terror. And I think to myself, oh, a historically illiterate person is running. Who is he?
He's basically an uninspiring bureaucrat. He's a state superintendent of education. So I don't think we can take anything this year for granted. We have to take Tony Evers seriously. If you look at the numbers last night, there were about 536,000 votes cast in the Democratic governor's primary, where there were only 441,000 cast in the GOP Senate primary and 454 cast in our governor primary. So it's fair to say that the other side, notwithstanding their rhetoric, is fired up. They're ready to go. Their people are going to show up to the polls, and we have to do the same. The good news is that Governor Walker is probably the toughest campaigner I've ever seen. He has an incredible organization in the state. He has a record that now speaks for itself. And my belief is that most people in Wisconsin are known for just being common sense, hardworking people. I think that type of rhetoric really turns people off. And people have to ask themselves, you know, has their life gotten better over the last 6 years in particular? And do they really want to go back and undo all the positive reforms that we've seen in Wisconsin and go back to a dire economic situation?
Now, I know the turnout disparity, and I know that it means that they're energized. But I actually think Leah Vukmir puts Tammy Baldwin in a bad space. I try to stay out of primaries unless it's a place like Martha McSally in Arizona where one candidate has to be nominated. So I stayed out of the Nicholson-Vukmir race. But Leah Vukmir was in, you know, I was pulling for her because I wanted to run against Tammy Baldwin, the most competitive candidate. I think that's State Senator Leah Vukmir. What do you think, Mike Gallagher?
She's a phenomenal candidate, and I've been at all these Lincoln Day dinners and grassroots events over the last few months, and I've seen Leah work incredibly hard. I mean, she's been working her tail off. She really earned this, and I think she'll make a phenomenal addition to the U.S. Senate. She's demonstrated that she's a true conservative. She's worked extremely hard for a long time in Wisconsin. She was a huge help in enacting some of the critical reforms like Act 10, which have dramatically improved our state economy. She's worked right side by side with the governor. They're going to make a great team on the campaign trail, and I think she lines up very well against Tammy Baldwin. But again, it's incumbent upon all of us in Wisconsin, conservatives, independents, anyone who just cares about their children's future, not to take this for granted, to recognize that we have to get out there. Tammy Baldwin is sitting on a lot of money. There's going to be a ton of money from outside groups coming in. They would like nothing more than not only to keep the Senate race, but to take Governor Walker out, who, because of his boldness, because of his bold reforms, has become a top target for the hardcore left. And so, again, we're just going to have to work our tails off in what will be a very difficult year.
Now, Mike Gallagher, one of the things you're known for is, of course, your service on armed services. And I want to talk about the NDAA, which got signed this week, the John McCain National Defense Authorization Act. And a key portion of that is a prohibition on selling F-35s to Turkey. Now, this raises a whole host of issues as to Turkey has long been an ally, long been a critical part of NATO, but it has slipped into authoritarianism. Erdogan is holding an American hostage, Pastor Brunson. The lira is falling, and we don't want to sell them F-35s. Tell us about the state of play about that transaction and how you view Turkey's sort of convulsions.
Absolutely. So first is just a little bit on the economic situation in Turkey. The Turkish lira has lost more than 50% of its value against the dollar over the past year alone. And the latest free fall has come in response to President Trump's announcement that he'll be doubling tariffs on Turkish steel and aluminum over the detention of Pastor Brunson. And in retaliation, Erdogan announced a boycott of American electronics. And then simultaneously, as you say, we took a hard look at Turkey in the NDAA, which President Trump signed earlier this week at Fort Drum. The NDAA calls on Turkey to release all Americans wrongfully detained, including Pastor Brunson. It also puts on hold F-35 deliveries to Turkey, pending an assessment of the risks associated with Turkey's potential purchase of the Russian S-400 air defense system. And really, there's a concern here that if they go forward with the S-400, and they've already made a down payment, that could compromise our F-35 systems if those two things were in close proximity or on the same grid, et cetera, et cetera. So that's a huge risk, as well as the broader risk of Turkey falling further into the Russian orbit. There aren't a lot of really good options when it comes to Turkey, if I'm being completely honest with you, Hugh. On the one hand, Erdogan's behavior across a wide variety of fronts is quite clearly unacceptable, and he should be held to account, and we should demand the release of Pastor Brunson and all the other hostages he's taking, and we should make the F-35 delivery contingent upon that. But on the other hand, as our relationship with Turkey is chilled, Russia's has improved considerably. And if the Russian-Iranian axis becomes a Russian-Turkish-Iranian axis, that would be a disaster for U.S. policy. Also, it's a fact that the strategic sort of long-term prize in the Syrian conflict, in many ways, is what the international orientation of Turkey will look like in a post-Cold War world. And so we're confronting years of bipartisan failure that treated Turkey as too big to fail and essentially thought that if we treated it like an ally, they would respond as such. Clearly, that didn't work. And so I think the best bet is to clearly demonstrate our concerns, enhance economic pressure, try to push Erdogan in a more helpful direction where possible, such as on the S-400, and hope ultimately Turkey will move past the Erdogan era and in a more Western-oriented direction. That's going to be a very difficult balancing act, but it helps when we have a strong military to back aggressive diplomacy.
Now, Turkey is not a nuclear power, but there are nuclear weapons in Turkey. They're ours, and they're at an Air Force base, and I believe there are between 50 and 100 of them. Ought we not to be moving those out, Mike Gallagher?
Well, that's a very complicated maneuver, and obviously they're there to project extended deterrence and provide an umbrella for multiple allies, not just Turkey. And Turkey is still a NATO ally, notwithstanding all the problems that we have, and so it's probably too complicated of a maneuver just to say we're going to pull them out. But I think at this point, we have to be having very difficult and frank conversations with the Turks. Really, the source of Turkish concern, or really at the heart of all this, is our relationship with the Kurds. That's what makes this so difficult, or at least that's the argument Erdogan makes against us. He believes we aligned with the PKK, which is his sworn enemy, a terrorist state. We recognize it as a terrorist organization. But they make no distinction between the PKK, a Kurdish terrorist organization, and the YPG, a Kurdish group in Syria that we've worked very closely with. That's why he's intervened in Syria to ensure Rojava is not under the PKK umbrella. And that's why, although this goes back a little bit further than the Syrian conflict, a recent poll identified 80% of Turks 80% of Turks identify the U.S. as the number one enemy of Turkey, largely because of the Kurdish issue, which many view as an existential issue. On a demographic level, by 2040, ethnic Kurds will comprise one-third of the Turkish population. And then there's simultaneously a diplomatic row, a disagreement over the status of the cleric Fethullah Gulen, who Erdogan very much views as behind the coup, the recent coup, and takes offense to the fact that he's in Pennsylvania right now. So these are very difficult issues to work out, but we have to work them out. We have to have clarity with the Turks on what we're trying to achieve in Syria, and I think we can do that, and at the same time push back aggressively on their detention of American citizens, push back aggressively on their crackdown of freedom in the press, and be prepared to defend our interests in Syria and across the Middle East.
Now, a very sophisticated non-American observer of Erdogan said he is just using a Khamenei playbook, which is to define the essence of his tenure as being anti-American, that he needs to be anti-American to maintain his narrow majority. He got a 55% majority in the vote. He won a free election, a fair election, and he plays this playbook. He's democratically elected, but he's playing from a playbook that we've seen before, and he is aligning with Iran, and we ought not to be late to the recognition that if you're losing an ally, you lose an ally. It's what happened in Iran, right? And so if you're losing an ally, you're losing an ally, and you got to adjust.
It's absolutely true that he plays that card aggressively, and I think those polls in part reflect the fact that he's ratcheted up that rhetoric to such an unbelievable height in recent years. But it's also fair to say that the alignment between Turkey and Russia is problematic on many fronts because they're on opposite sides of most regional issues, from Syria to Ukraine. And while there are instances, particularly that we've seen with the Turkish Halk Bank, where we can see that they've violated U.S. sanctions, there is no real love between Turkey and Iran. So I think we have an opportunity there. I do think we have to push back. We should call out Turkey for violating sanctions. We should absolutely push back when it comes to human rights concerns. But at the end of the day, it's my view that over the long term, it would be better to have Turkey, which is a very important and powerful state, notwithstanding its difficulties, in the Western orbit as opposed to in the Russian orbit or the Iranian-Russian orbit.
Agree. Good luck in making that happen, and good luck in trying to put a happy face on Deshaun Kizer getting cut. If that happens, I told you here first, Mike Gallagher, we'll bring you into the 21st century of football eventually. Vince is gone. Sorry. Thanks for listening to the Town Hall Review. Our program is coming today in partnership with the Pepperdine Graduate School of Public Policy. It's America's most unique graduate leadership programs offered on Pepperdine's breathtaking campus in Malibu, California. Learn more at publicpolicy.pepperdine.edu. If you enjoy your podcast, take a moment, tell a friend to subscribe today.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.